In verse number 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We've noticed and we've pondered and we've dwelt on the armor of God, and beginning with truth. Your foundation as a Christian begins in the truth. The truth. The Bible says, gird your loins. Get that truth wrapped around your base, your legs that holds you up, that gives you that mobility of moving forward. Gird your loins with truth. Your soul, your heart is protected by His righteousness. And your feet are kept by the gospel. And the next verse, verse 16 says, above all, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for this day that You've given us. We thank You, Lord, for the miracle of the sunrise. We thank You for Your creation. We praise You for Your power that is exhibited to us each and every moment of every day. Father, we just praise You for Your sovereignty, Your providence. We pray as we meet together this morning that You would teach us by Your word, that You would bless the hearts of Your people. Encourage us, Father, to stand. Help us to comprehend this armor that we study, and help us to have a desire, be eager to maintain our Christian walk, and to use the armor that You've given us to its full potential. Father, we just pray that You'll bless in these services today. We pray, Father, that as the gospel goes forth, that it would convict the hearts of the lost, and that it would encourage the hearts of the saved. In Jesus' name, amen. As we began this study on armor, we stressed the fact that the Bible says the whole armor, it's one unit, and yet in this verse we see above all. I believe Paul is trying to get your attention again. He knows human nature. He knows that I've read three verses and my mind is wandering. Paul says, above all. If he had a podium, I believe he slapped it. Above all. Taking the shield of faith. This is important now. Let's listen. Paul says, above all, taking the shield of faith. How's faith like a shield? Well, he says, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. This shield has a purpose. See your faith as a protection against the fiery darts of the wicked, against the principalities and powers of darkness, against your own perception being warped by what sounds good in the culture. The shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Without this shield, not much quenching going on, if any. The Bible says in Hebrews in chapter 11, let's turn there. I'm going to read this. Hebrews in chapter 11. Verse number 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report, and through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than God. Faith, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is a gift. You can't manufacture faith. Romans 4. Romans 4 and verse 24. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed. Imputed is the key word here that I'm getting at. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. To whom it is faith, shall be imputed. Faith is not earned, it is given. Back in Hebrews chapter 11, you can read, without faith it's impossible to please Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The shield of faith. God has given you, if you're saved, faith. This faith is a shield that protects you from the fiery darts of the wicked, from those ideas and methodologies that might even sound good in the flesh, but they're not truth. Spiritual wickedness in high places. The shield of faith. Above all, take the shield of faith. Yes, it is a whole armor. It's a whole package. And the Lord provides it all. Take the shield of faith. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Only the saved can understand that. Only the recipient of the gift of faith can understand that and get a grasp of what that verse is saying. Only the Spirit of the Lord can show you that. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. In Romans 10 and verse 17, the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing. Turn to Galatians in chapter 5. Galatians 5 and verse 6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith, which worketh by love. That's why Paul says above all. It's all about faith. In James 2 and verse 17, the Bible says faith without works is dead. So faith is a gift. Faith is a shield. And yet, if you have faith, it'll be obvious. It'll be obvious at some point in your life that faith will exhibit itself and works will come out of it. Faith is first and then works. Works doesn't create faith. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. You know what that verse says? Ephesians 2 and verse 8. For by grace are ye saved. How? Through faith. And that not of yourselves. How do you get it? It's a gift. The shield of faith. In Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Faith in and of itself, you can't see. But you can see the works that result from it. You can't even see it within yourself, necessarily. You can feel it. And obviously that faith manifests in a desire to do good works. Turn to 1 John and chapter 5. 1 John and chapter 5. Verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. This is an important part of our armor, the shield of faith. The Bible says it will overcome the world. We might not want to mess with that aspect of our armor. We might want to just leave it like it is, take it for what it is, and let the Lord work. It's His armor. He designed it. It was given to me. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to take that shield of faith and go, I don't like the color of it, I'm going to paint it, I'm going to change the corners because they're square and I'd rather have round. No. No. Shield of faith. The Lord said, Mike, here's your shield. Thank you, Lord. Just like it is. Not going to redesign it. I like to redesign things. I like to analyze the way things are built, made, assembled. Not this one. Not this one. The shield of faith. The Bible says in Luke chapter 17 and verse 5, increase our faith. That verse means more to me every day. Every day it means more and more. Lord, increase our faith. This flesh is weak. Day by day, the troubles and trials of life, it beats down on this shield. It puts some dents in it. Oh Lord, increase our faith. In Psalms 23, we all know these verses. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's faith talking. That's faith. Lord, it don't matter where I'm walking, what situation I'm in. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I have faith that thy rod and thy staff will comfort me. The shield of faith. What's our shield for? Quenching the fiery darts of the wicked. What's the wicked? Everything. Everything that we perceive, see, feel, hear in this life. Yes, the grace of God still has an influence on this world, this creation. Yes, it does. But right now, Satan's reigning, in a sense, over this part of the creation. The Lord has allowed him to have that. Lord, increase our faith. We know how the end is. We can read about it. I care not today what tomorrow may bring. It's easy to say. It's a little harder to do. The Lord I know ruleth over everything. All of my worry is just vain. Tempests blow, storm clouds arise. I wish I could say I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. But one thing I know, the Master looks on at the strife. He's watching. He's watching. I know He safely will carry me through. That's faith. No matter what evils betide. Why should I then care, though tempests may blow, if Jesus walks close to my side? It's easy to say. Especially when it's in a song that makes it even easier to love. Those lyrics. Living by faith. And feel no alarm. No alarm. We've got the shield of faith. These fiery darts are everywhere, every minute, bombarded all day long. That shield of faith is what prevents that from those things from having any lasting effect. They will have an effect. But any lasting effect on this person, this being, this individual. Above all, having the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. Take the helmet of salvation. This relates also to the breastplate of righteousness. It's Christ's righteousness. It's Christ's salvation. And He gave it to us that are saved. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Christ Jesus, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. 1 John 5:5-6. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? If we as Christians are going to overcome the world, if anybody's going to overcome the world, it's going to be those that believe on Jesus. Overcome the world. Don't think about that so much as the battle of Armageddon and defeat the enemy. But overcome the world is the fiery darts of the wicked not having a lasting effect on me. That's overcoming the world too. That's the world and its bombardment continually all day long every day not having too much of a damaging effect. And it's all of God. It's His shield of faith. He gave it to me. Who is he that overcometh the world? I like to think of that as, who is he that can effectively resist the bombardment, the fiery darts of the wicked? The helmet of salvation. Salvation is head protection. It's protection from brainwashing of modern culture. All by grace. All by grace. The difference between me and that foolish liberal is grace. But for the grace of God, there go I. That's so true. The older I get, the more time I spend in this life and dealing with people, the more I see that. And I'm sure that my perception of that will continue to expand and learn. What makes the difference? Why don't I think the way that guy thinks? The grace of God. That's the only answer. It's not because I went out and searched how to be a conservative. I didn't do that. I didn't, turn 16 and know it all and say, I'm going to be... I mean, I knew it all, but I didn't say, I'm going to be a conservative. That wasn't one of my goals. It's all by grace. God works in our life whether we like to admit it or not. First John 3. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. What manner of love? What manner? Man, what kind of love is this that the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? What a promotion. What a gift. And therefore, by the way, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. That's uncomfortable in this moment. The world knew him not and therefore doesn't know us. That's not that comfortable right now in this life, in this flesh. Lord, help us to not forget this life is a vapor. We're only here for a little while. It's going to be okay. In fact, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. This is just a minute, a blip in eternity. Not only, the gift is so far greater than the trial. And if we got the right attitude, as a servant of the Lord, as a recipient of the gift, if we got the right attitude in this life, we might get to see some amazing things. If we've got the wrong attitude, amazing things will happen and we won't even notice. The helmet of salvation. Behold, now, not later or whenever, behold, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. 1 John 3 and verse 2. Now are we the sons of God. Salvation is real now. In the moment that the Spirit draws you, it's a done deal. The gift is applied at that moment. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. We can't really imagine that. I'm going to have to hurry up. Think about John 3:16. I mean, we love that verse. And every time we say it, it gets so familiar, we forget to think about what it's saying. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, and should not perish means obviously the opposite of perish would be never perish, everlasting life. For God so loved the world, God so loved His creation, God so loved not one specific people. I believe when I'm getting off on a rabbit trail again. All right, 1 John 5 and verse number 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth Him that begat loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. The helmet of salvation. A lot of these things we could just keep going on and on about the typologies and the protections and the analogies of equipment that is given to the Christian soldier. And we just keep going on and we're trying to sort of minimize this and to keep our overall perspectives on this subject and encourage us to stand. Ephesians 6 is about encouraging us as Christians to stand. And we have all of these things. We have this armor. The helmet of salvation. Is your helmet on? Is your helmet on? The helmet of salvation is not, the helmet is not going to do much good if it's not on. Salvation's hard to explain. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, the Bible says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." How is the inward man renewed day by day? The gift of salvation, the imputed righteousness of Christ, That's renewing that inward man. Let's not get so overwhelmed with the trials of the day that we forget the impact, the significance of the gift of salvation and the imputed righteousness of Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." And having done all to stand, just hang in there. Hang in there. This is a light affliction. It doesn't feel very light, but the Bible says this is a light affliction. The only reason it doesn't feel light is because I don't know how great the other thing is yet. But this is a light affliction. It's but for a moment. And the eternal weight of glory is far more exceeding. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 8, "But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation." Hebrews 1 verse 3, "Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high." The helmet of salvation. Verse 17 of Ephesians 6. "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit." And the sword of the Spirit. Take the sword of the Spirit. What is the sword of the Spirit? The Word of God. The sword of the Spirit. The analogy, the typology of the sword is very much an offensive weapon. It is to inflict harm. See it more in these verses, I believe, as a tool. It is a tool to conquer deception, to conquer accusations, to conquer blasphemy. The Bible says the sword, the Word of God, is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In the flesh, we think of a sword as something that you're getting out and you're swinging it at the enemy. But to tie the sword of the Spirit to the Word of God, it's not so much something you're operating with your hands. It's coming out of your mouth. You can read Revelation 19 and see the sword of the Spirit coming out of the Lord Jesus Christ's mouth. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, and we speak it. We're not swinging it like a bow bat. We speak it. And it does its work, and its effectiveness is in itself. It's not in our dispensation. It's not in our it's not in the individual's even method of using the tool. It's in the tool itself. The sword of the Spirit exists on its own. And its effectiveness is in and of itself. It's really not how I use it. That's why I hesitate to even expound on a verse and change its words to think about it in different ways, because the sword exists in and of itself. This is why it's so important that we don't waver on the King James Version. Here is the sword. Its effectiveness is within itself. The word does all the work. It doesn't depend on how well I read it or speak it. The power is in the word itself, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. First Peter 3 and verse 14, if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and what? Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That's using the sword. It's not swinging it with a ball bat, like a ball bat. It's giving an answer. It's speaking the word. And its effectiveness may come across like a sword. It might divide that person you're speaking to. It might divide. It might just cut them right down the middle. It might. But that's not on you. That's on the Lord. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's sword training. Sword training. Learn how to use your tool. In Jeremiah, the Bible says, is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? The effectiveness of his word is within itself. In Isaiah 49, verse 2, he made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver he hid me away.